Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harmony. I'm glad you guys are here today. In case we have not met yet, my name is Pastor Robbie, and I am the student pastor here at Harmony. I've been sort of privileged with being able to sort of introduce all of our guest speakers for this series. The current series we're in is Stories of Impact, which is all about sharing the stories that God is writing in our lives, in the lives of our community, in the lives of, well, in the whole world. And you are actually a key part of those stories that are being written. May not know this, but we have talked about it before, but Harmony, we give 10% of everything that we take in as a church to local international missions to further, you know, the work of God's kingdom in the world. So all during this series, we've had people who represent these different missions and ministries that we sort of support come in and talk about the stories that they've seen throughout all of their missions. And it's been really great so far. I've really enjoyed all of our speakers. I really, you know, have all the ministries we sort of support have a special place in my heart. Today, we have a really exciting one. We've sort of been focusing a little bit more on our local missions here, but now we're talking a little bit more international. We have a wonderful guest speaker today. It's Elijah Mbadi. We support him and his wife and their mission in Kenya. Now, I asked all of our people who are coming speaking to send a bio, so I kind of know what to say, and Elijah sent in a book. It's really long, but that's okay. He's got a lot to talk about. That's what's really great about him. You can really see in just reading through this how God has really been working in his life and moving and doing some really wonderful stuff. So I can't wait to get into that. But let me tell you a little bit about him real quick and sort of summarize this, hit the highlights here. Elijah and Ellen Mbadi were married in June 2004, and they joined New International in April of 2005. Elijah and Ellen, they share a strong calling to empower local leaders and transform and empower the communities they serve. The Mbadis have been blessed with two daughters, Josephine, age 13, and Elizabeth, age 11. The Mbadis have a passion to meet and address physical and spiritual needs of the communities they serve, especially ministering to the street, needy children, and their families in Kenya. In 1998, Elijah founded Nasha Ministries. This is the ministry that he sort of works in, supports in Kenya, that does all sorts of wonderful things. They run, up until recently, they ran two schools. I believe they've pared that down to one now. But their school meets all the needs of many children and families that they serve. I got some really awesome numbers I'd like to share, too. I thought this was really great. The ministry, since it started, has seen more than 32,000 students and families benefit at various levels. It currently serves 202 students at the church school and targets to provide 250 children learners with uniforms each year. Currently, it targets 600 to help find sponsors for high school. Currently, 400 high school students who are in great need are in sponsorship in different levels of provision to help them find resources needed to shape their lives and education. This past June, their camp served 320 students, and they have 22 students who are working in a college university program with them. So anyways, a lot of awesome stuff happening. I'm really excited to hear about all of their work they're doing in Kenya, and I hope you are too. So please give a warm welcome to Elijah as he takes the stage.
Good morning. Thank you very much for this church, for welcoming us and for being part of what God is doing around the world and for supporting various missionaries. As I can see all the flags, it's because God has provided for you and you have noticed that God is with you. So as you support your church, your local church, and grow with it, and you know that also the church is extending their hands to reach to people like us as we reach others on the field. So God has been so faithful. That's Nasha Ministries. We are with New International. They are based in Florida. And since we have joined New International, I used to be with New CMF before that. But when we got married with my wife, we had to change because my wife came with a different... she stamped a different authority on that. So when you see New International is everybody wants to join, like they can join, and they have to go through different trainings, like missionary training institution there in Colorado, in different levels for you to do mission overseas. But NASHA exists for transforming and empowering communities for Christ. And for us, as we have been working around the clock, we are so faithful by people like you. We are encouraged by people like you, especially like the church here, like the leadership in the mission. When they are like we are, the church had a little bit problem. We saw, they wrote us a very good letter and saying, oh, we have a problem, but we'll fix it. And then we kept praying for you a lot. And the church really came up with their support. And that's one of ways we can say your faithfulness is an encouragement to how you walk, as you say. And that's how God's people work in the mission. So thank you very much for the leadership of the church members and the elders and the pastors and also the other workers. So NASHA Ministries exists to transform and empower communities for Christ. So when you talk about transformation, is the changing, is the renewing of the mind and trying to be something different. But when you talk about the empowerment, is when you really you have been transformed, and now you are in a level that you want to grow others so that they can also be transformed. So the church is in those areas. The church is in the mix of that area. There are people in the church who are in the transformation part. They are being transformed. There are others who are in empowered. They have been empowered. Or there are others who are going through empowerment. The church, the pastors are doing that. So like if you focus on only transformation, then you will never have the circle going. You know, like the circle needs to keep going. It's like a wheel. So the circle has to go because there's a transformation and there's empowerment. So like if the church wants to grow, like your church, it's a good church that we enjoy to be part of it, is working through those areas, transformation and empowerment. And I really appreciate this church for that, for helping others to really see the focus, see Jesus as their savior in life and see God. So my favorite verse in the Bible is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7 says, do not lean on your own understanding. Like, you know, we all think we know. Everybody thinks like I know. And I know me and my mother-in-law, we are very good friends. And she likes me to read the long, I didn't share that, but she likes to read the long way of how things are, like how to start a TV. And then I don't like that. So I don't like to read those long, long catalog about things. So what I usually see is like, if you do this and do that, that's all. But that's my mind. So like I think, but the Bible says us, do not lean on your own understanding. We know, but there are things deep in God's sight. So God is the one who needs to bring them to us and help us to trust. If we trust him, he will give us that wisdom and that knowledge of seeing things different. So NASHA Ministries is transforming and empowering communities. So when you say about transformation, it's like when you go to Romans chapter 12, says therefore, all your bodies, put all your bodies sacrificial. So that, and then chapter verse 2 says, and be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that's where now the church comes in, for the church to help us, help me and you, to really renew our minds, think different, look things in a different perspective. Our parents, like if you read Ephesians chapter 6, you can see all the parents and all the children obey your parents, and the children, they are supposed to obey their parents, but the parents also, they are supposed to do what? They are supposed to treat them nice, isn't it? And then it goes to workers, and then it goes to full armor of God, isn't it? And then later it talks about the prayers on the other side. So those are the things that when we look on the renewing of the mind, we can see different levels of life. So when you come to Proverbs chapter 5, my favorite verse, then you can just see, like, we all depend on God. We need him. So when we need God, is when we need him to put us in different levels of life. No matter how much money we have, no matter how much position we hold, we all need each other. We need God. So Nasha Ministries, we knew that we cannot do anything if God is not in us, so that we can help move the wheel of transforming and empowering communities for Christ. So communities is like we are not doing for one person. No, it's continuation, isn't it? The wheel can continue. For example, for you, like I've heard like this talk about giving. So you say, oh, I gave last month. Is that enough? Okay. So it's like, oh, I gave a lot. Is that a lot? But you have a lot too. But then it's like, you ask your question, like some people want to stop. Oh, I've shared to several people. I don't see changes. So you stop there. You don't need to stop there. Keep going and growing, going, growing like that. That's how the gospel is being preached. So there are many things that God has helped us to do in life when I started the ministry. So when I was starting the ministry, I started like a Sunday school teacher. I was teaching Sunday school, and every time I had a lot, I think I had a lot, like 300 plus students in our Sunday school. But I kept seeing others and all coming. And when I noticed there are some coming and they had like effects of drugs with them, and that's when I noticed there were several street children among us who have gone to the street and some are in us. So that's how I started Nasha, by seeing how to help the street children. Because there's a post-election violence. In Kenya, it's what we call post-election violence. There's drought, there's floods, all those kinds of things. People move from rural areas to urban areas. And whenever they move to urban areas, sometimes they don't know what to do. They don't know how to make money. Some end up being prostitutes. They end up giving birth to children they don't know how to care for. So those are areas that problems were affecting the people where I was, because I was in town. So in slums, people were coming from slums, going to town, and then they get misplaced. You know, as three children, if somebody walks from home thinking that I'll go to the street and if I get food, I will return. But then later, drugs, all kinds of sniffing glue, they never return home. For some don't have homes. Their parents, maybe they are misplaced. So those days, there was a lot of HIV AIDS. There was a rampant of HIV AIDS growing up in different families. And there was a stigmatization. People were stigmatized. If you have HIV AIDS, people didn't like you. They were just like, they didn't like that. I didn't share that. But when you come to see the street children ministry growing, I had like 10 to 15 in my house. So we started thinking on ways to help others not to go to the streets. So we ended up setting up a prevention. Prevention so that we do things that makes children not go to the street. So we were doing street children. Now we are going to adults. Still we are doing children. So we provide uniform. They didn't have uniform. We provide desk. We provide. Then that's when I started school. After that, the ministry has grown to help students, because these children, when they were growing up, they were not just stagnant. They grew to another level, to another level. They go to high school. Then they need school fees to continue with their secondary education. There are those who didn't have homes. We put them in boarding schools. And there are those who didn't have families. We had feeding programs for them. So those areas that we did, several schools were started with us even if we didn't like manage them, but we had to manage two that we were able. And then we ended up looking, I will come to the water project later, but we ended up churches, because I worked with the elders of our church, they are the one who gave me the ground for that. So I thank them a lot. That's why I keep saying, like, if you really love your church, love your leadership, and love them. And if you want to work with your church, don't be a stumbling block. Like, you become like, you are the one rolling up the wheel. Like, you don't become like a problem. Because when there is a problem, they cannot move, isn't it? So, those areas, our church was so faithful in providing me with the ground and helping me to see the needs of the children I met, and even some giving me bread and juice for the children. So a good number of that, it helped us to continue to see me helping other churches because I continued to grow. Because one of the person from Southeast Christian Church came to Kenya and found me doing that. And he was a doctor. And I think you supported one of the son here. I can't say the name, but he was one of the in Bosnia. So his father was the one who came to tell me he can help me. But in helping me, he became my father that time. And even when I came to marry here, he was my father in my wedding. So he helped me. And from that time, I can't tell you, from the street children ministry, I can't tell you, like, all the list that is listed there, I can't tell you how God has done to make things grow. So with us, we say helping them both physical and spiritual. That's an holistic ministry. So by giving them bread, clothing them, you still share the word of God. So how can we share the word of God? How? We share the word of God through camps, fellowships, and visiting them to their homes, sharing to their families. I remember one day we went to one of the families and they were brewing alcohol. And this mother said she has now taken Christ as the Savior. I didn't share that in the morning, but it's another story that's coming up. So when we went in that house, they still sold that. And it was a very bad mistake for them, because one of the alcohol fell, spilled on the seat, and they were cleaning it up. And I was the one sitting there. And I can just feel like something is burning me a little bit. And because we were going from one house to another, we walk from one house to another to fellowship together with other believers, or people we said we are reaching them, I feel like it's too hard for me. Because it was smelling and it was biting. See? Then I started asking myself, how comes when somebody drinks it, how does it feel if it's biting my skin like that? So our program grew from three children to go to look on other needs of the people around the rural areas. That's when we started like the sponsorship program. We started making desks, giving uniforms, providing school fees. And then when we came to do the church planting is when we realized that the church is the hope of the world. So a lot of people came to me because they knew I had connection in different levels. That's when we started training pastors, training leaders in the church, and helping most of them to understand the gospel. And then I started a program to distribute NIV Bibles, because I found out most of the Bibles, they were being sold in Kenya, they didn't have reference. So NIV Bibles, like, people can do a reference with them. We started those programs, and we started, right now we are doing Lead Like Jesus program to train leaders in the churches. So let me go back to my stories, because that is now getting there. Don't know if you like my stories, but one of the stories I like is the water project. One day I was coming, I came here, and most of the time whenever we come over, We don't buy a return ticket. We buy just one ticket. So when we go back, we have to buy another one. Because sometimes you never knew what will happen. So one day I wanted to go back to Kenya, and I'd already started a water project program. People walking 80 kilometers so that they can get water, and this water is not clean. It's water from the river. So when I walked, I went there and I walked and I saw the problem. I started telling people, I'm going to do a water project. I took several pictures. One of my friends in Lexington helped me to buy a pump, big pump. So one day I went to, my days were over here during my follow. I didn't have money to go back. I was short $2,000 and I said, oh, I need just to go to my friend David. The only thing I'll share about him, David, I need $2,000 to go back to Kenya. And David just said, but you were sharing me about stories and there were pictures you were showing me. Let's go back to those stories. But I said, no, David, I want $2,000. I want to go back to Kenya because I want to go back to Kenya. I want $2,000. So this water project was started. It was started in a way by my friend asking me to go back to it so we can talk about it. But for me, I was seeing I can't get the $2,000 because I'm really short and I really need it badly. But David spoke about the water project. We set up meetings and then later we bought pipes and the people have water. So if you go back to my picture now, the other pictures earlier, when I was talking about street children, that's the street children there. Now those are now in a different stage of life. We have taken them from the street. They are now able to sit down and listen the gospel. We do some magics a little bit, like water. We say, oh, you can just flip the cup. And the kids just ask, no, you cannot flip the cup with water and then make it not spill. So those are areas that every kid come and does a magic, but you know, it cannot work. And Isaac is still working with us. This is like 2009, but the one with glasses, he still works with us. And then when we have Christmas, we bring everybody, we feed them food, and the kids like to have fun together. So they eat food, the ugali, and the beans there, and the corn. And then when we do that, we made everybody to relate. There is a relationship built there. So they can talk to each other. There is a war, they fight. All kinds, you know, street children. They even me, like I never knew how I lived with them. Sometimes what we have done, I don't even understand. Because God was helping us to live with them in different ways. Okay, now we go to the other project now, the water project. So when I told my friend about the water project, he just said, let's do it. And for me, I was just seeing thousands of dollars. Because I had already calculated the thousands of dollars, laying all the pipes, and all happened. Because God wanted it to happen. So when it happened, we grew up, we started another program for distribution of tanks to schools because we realized children take a long time to carry water to schools so they can have a feeding program. So we started that. And recently, I was in Kenya. We were doing some relief food distribution. One of the organizations called IDES, they gave us money for that. And the women asked, can you try how we feel when we carry food? So they put all the food to us so we can carry like them. That's how we did with our chairman of our board. And that's Jacob the other side and Wilson. So we did that. This is when I was teaching the last 320 students. We divided the camp into two. So I was teaching about Jonah. You know, Jonah, it has only four chapters. But when you look on Jonah, there's a lot of a lot to go into it. Like a Jonah fish. Jonah swallowed by the big fish. Jonah inside the belly. But you see, all those are stories. But then you forget is the word of God. See, the word of God. The word of God came to Jonah. The word of God. Go to Nineveh. Like the word. And that's how you are preached every day here in the church. It's about the word of God. So, and then NIV Bibles, we give leaders NIV Bibles. Let's go to the other one. And so, like, this is the water I was talking about. Those are the goats we give the people. So, with the water project, it has given birth to the toilets. People don't have toilets. We started a program for building, constructing toilets. I remember even me one day, I was in the bush. You can just see, be in the toilet, be in the bush, and you want to use the bush, but there's another person using the other side, you see? So it's very sad. So this is the water project. It's providing our target, 10,500 people. And then we started, now that's Nasha office. On the other blue, the people with blue, so we started a program for training health workers. And this is to help the people use a holistic ministry to reach the community, their communities they come from, so that they can reduce diseases. They can talk about their vaccination, because some families don't go for vaccination for their children. So we help train the families, the youth, so they can go to their communities to train. And then we provided them with filters. And these filters, they show them how to use filters and the clean water to reduce the diseases. So all kinds of things that God has done to us, you can just imagine how God can use the work of street children to grow it and become a very big impact to the communities around us. So you can just see, like, there are some who have seen the toilet. Now they are going to construct one because they have seen one. Now this is because we cannot construct to each every person a toilet. Some of them we do just to help people see. So can you imagine, like, this church? What can you do? The smallest thing you can do as a church. What is that small thing you can do with the leadership of this church and grow the way God wants it? What is that small thing? Is it you going deeper to your pocket giving? Is it you going and volunteering in a nursery school or Sunday school? Is it you becoming, wanting to be trained in the leadership here? Oh, what can you do so that God can continue using you and being part of what God is doing around the world? Is it for you praying for the church? Is it for you just, you know, in our church, I don't know what God did to us, but God was so faithful and has been so faithful. We gave our time planting flowers. We gave our time to come and clean the church. We gave our time to do several things around, and we gave our resources. Like in our elders, when we talk about problems in our church, we found out most of the elders, there's things you don't know about elders in any church. Elders solve a lot of things that you don't even know. Elders and your pastors, they solve a lot of things that you don't even know. And there are a lot of things that you don't even think happen because they sacrificed. I remember when we were seated, every time we were seated, anything with money, elders were the first people to give. If there was somebody sick, elders were the first people and their pastor and to go to the sick person. So they sacrificed a lot. So for me, I really appreciate what God has done to us. And for seeing what God has done in this ministry, because God has grown people to be different than they were. So when we went to prevention of the street children, There are now very few street children because we emphasized on education, education, education. And when we do education, if you don't educate people, they cannot even know how to read the Bible, isn't it? If you don't give them education, can they know how to read the Bible? They can't. So we have to emphasize on what is the key, is the education. Can they know how to read prevention measures if they don't know how to read? So we have to make sure this is the key. Education. Education. So I went, I did my part of saying education, and education was just like a song. Education, education. And that's how you can see even water, you have to read like a pressure. You know, like I came to learn a lot when I was doing the water project. Came to learn a lot. Came to learn a lot, like the pressure, how many meters you can go, then you can have like a pressure, how many, the graph, and how the pump needed. I came to learn a lot, and that says education, education, everything is education. So God has been so faithful in all this, but it's because of the word. So when you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is, it says, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise for salvation. Like the Scripture was there, you know. God created the world by the word, isn't it? He said, and it happened. And then later he said, it is good, isn't it? Do you know the creation story? So God, from the beginning, God has used his word. And the scripture is, it is his word. When you go to 1 John, there was the word, and the word was God, and the God was it. So God has been there from infancy, like from long, 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 long. And then you have heard it. Your preachers told you about the scripture. You have heard from your parents or from different people. So you have heard it. And it's good to make you wise. Wisdom for salvation. And the door of this church, they are open every day. They are open so that people can do what? And be saved. People can be saved. So how from infancy you have heard the Holy Scripture? So whom you have learned, and it's infancy, like when you are, and it's the Holy Scripture, and it's able to make you wise for salvation. And that's why you can see the scripture is good for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and all of us, we need that. We all need that. So whenever we were doing for the street children, we were telling them how to live, how to walk, how to be in a good life, how to. And then whenever we taught them, at last, it also turned to our lives. Like if you do things, it comes to you too. If you tell people about it, you think you are telling them, but it also is coming to you. It's telling you too. You are just talking to yourself about it. And so that the servant of God may thoroughly equipped for every good work. So like the transformation part of that, and there's empowerment that. So like everything, the will continues. You continue to do a good work because the will continue. You don't need to stop it, isn't it? So let's go the other one. And so there's another part like preaching, hearing, going. See? Look, so with mission, you have to preach the word, and the word has to be the word of God, isn't it? And this word of God, somebody has to preach it. And can somebody preach without being sent? And can somebody go without being sent? Can somebody hear without somebody preaching? So In the midst of life, the gospel needs you and me. Because when you talk about for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord. Can you call what you haven't known? Can you call? If somebody didn't introduce me, can you just guess my name? You can't, isn't it? You cannot guess my name. You have to know it. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? So like if you say, oh, they don't know Christ. But how can they know if somebody is not telling them about Christ? How? So here, if we come as a church, but we fail to tell those who are outside about Christ, then how can they know? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? They cannot. You have to heard about him. You have to know him. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So you have to have a messenger. Somebody is telling them. And then this messenger has to be sent. So that when the messenger takes the message and he says, if you want to see me, if you want to know more, come to Harmony Christian. Because you have the preacher has been encouraging you to share the gospel. So because you cannot have a lot of time for one person, then the person will come to this church and then the person will grow as you see together in the church. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So good news of Jesus, the Savior of the world. So if you enjoy it, share it. If you like it, have others like it too. If you are happy with the gospel, share with others. Let the world shine because you are part of it. The world cannot shine if we just sit and not roll the wheel. For us, the wheel to move, we need that. So the other part of our words that were encouraging us is the book of Matthew chapter 25. And when you look on Matthew chapter 25, you'll see here is when Jesus was asking questions. When I was sick, you came. When I was in prison, when I was angry, you fed. When I needed. And then the disciples ask, when did we see you naked? Without clothes? Without food? But what did he say? What you did to the least of this. You did it for me. And that's how life is with us all. We all need to be a helping hand to somebody. We need to do as per the gospel. So when you see Jesus was touching many lives. You remember the Samaritan woman? There are some good words there. What did Jesus say? Those who worship, they must worship in truth and in spirit. Do you remember that? And truth and in spirit. So he reached different levels of people. So to go back, when we were teaching Sunday school, and I was teaching the three children, we used to follow what we call Roman Road. Do you know Roman Road? Roman Road is the key. They have key verses, not all. And you can find them different gospel areas. Salvation is for all, isn't it? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. For the wages of sin is. You see Roman Road? You remember Roman Road? So we were sharing those a lot. But when you look on, you go deeper into the gospel, that's when you really understand. I really need to know. You see, the Bible is just, I can carry it, and you can read a lot of books, but this Bible is a lot of books. It's a lot of books. If you read the stories in this Bible, a lot of books. So when you go back and see all kinds of things the Bible is teaching, it has a meaning to us. And the meaning that the Bible has for us is that when Jesus comes back, he has a question for us, for me and you. None of the question is, the king will reply, "Ruler, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me, of mine." You ask yourself, is a prisoner for Jesus? Prisoner. See, am I the one who wrote that? No, a prisoner. Somebody who has gone to prison. Do you know people go to prison different things, commit different things, but still Jesus gives them a chance to repent and come to their realization that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So when you say clothing, food, all kinds of things is what we have seen needing the world, and the world needs. Because like in Kenya, we have different climate levels, and we have some people who can grow food and some cannot. Some try to grow, they harvest too much this year, and next time when they try again, they don't. Reason? Climate change. Reason? No rain. And then you don't harvest this year, you are stuck next year because all your money was invested this year. So whenever you see like this drought in Kenya, there's this and this, it's because things happen differently. So let's just work together as brothers and sisters to do the real thing God is calling us to do, to be walking with Jesus and to be part of the will. If this church asks us to do things, I didn't know there was advertisement, and maybe it's coming now. I saw one girl talking about things, and she's just encouraged to say about it. She's very young. And then I said, I wish I was in that church because I'm here today, but I'm not going to be there when this happened. I can be part of it. See? So you be part of what God is calling you and be part of this church and be part of what God is doing around the world. And then when you be part of it, you'll know small things comes to be bigger things. Thank you very much. And I know maybe one day when I come back, I may have a different story. Like the morning stories were different. So God bless you so much.
Thank you, Elijah. I don't know if you guys caught this, or I don't know that you said this in the service, but that you started all this because you were a Sunday school teacher, right? For the street kids. And it really started out of Elijah just seeing a need that was right in front of him and seeing how God might want to care about these kids. And he started just being obedient to God in that. And what I wanted to say to you guys is it's incredible how God has grown all of that through the years, right? Thousands and thousands of people touched, people trained, people fed, kids saved out of these lives that were leading towards prostitution and drugs and all kinds of terrible things. But it started with somebody just seeing one need and taking care of it. And I was reminded, as Elijah preached about, Jesus said that whoever's faithful with a little will be given much. And I just wanted to encourage you guys, because you guys live and work in places where there are little needs in front of you. And you don't have to go out and say, I'm going to change 1,000 people's lives. There's just one life that's right next door to you. There's one life that works in the cubicle across from you. There's one life that's a little kid who comes to class every day and you're a teacher, and that kid has nobody in their life that loves them and cares about them. And you could be the person that touches them. God may expand that into thousands of people, or he may just use it for you to touch that one little kid's life, or that one cubicle mate's life, or that one neighbor's life. part of the reason we're doing this whole Stories of Impact thing is to show you that it starts with the being faithful in the little things. It starts with us just being faithful to God and saying, I'm going to look for the needs. I'm going to look for where you're working and follow you in that. I wanted to real quickly just, these cards should be in front of you in the chairs. There may be some sitting on the chairs next to you, or maybe you brought yours back with you. I wanted to just highlight and talk about these cards real quickly because what we've asked all of you to do is to be praying for your stories of impact, what you are hoping to see God move in the next year in your life. And I don't, if we haven't been clear about this, the idea is today specifically, you'll rip off the little card. We're going to talk about that in a moment. You'll put that in the boxes at the communion tables, but that you'll take the big card and at the bottom on the side where it says, I'm praying for God to move in my family, friends, and faith community in the following ways. Just a little space there. You just write down, what is it that you're actually praying for God to move in? Are you praying for your kids that your children will come to know Jesus, that they'll follow him, that they'll give their lives to him? Are you praying for your marriage and you're praying that God will rescue your marriage and it's in turmoil right now and you don't see any way out, so the only thing you know how to do is just pray right now? What is it for your family that you're praying for? What about your friends? What about the people that you work with? What about the people that you hang out with every week? Are you praying for some of them to come to know Jesus? Are you praying for God to move in their life? Maybe their marriages are struggling and you're just going to commit to this year to pray for them. Keep this card in a place where you can pray over them. What about your faith community? What if you started to take Harmony as your church, not just like the church I go to, but it's my church, and you started to do the things that Elijah was talking about when he talked about becoming a wheel, like that you're going to actually create momentum and create movement in the church, and where do you want to use me, and what do you want to use this church to do and to accomplish? We have big dreams for this community, but most of it starts with you, not with me. Right? It's just us. My goal with this whole sermon series was, what if we could motivate and move the people of God to really start being faithful in prayer around these things? What would happen when we started to ask God for the things he's dying to say yes to? What would happen if we became those people and we just said, God, we want to see you move. We want to see you move. We want to see you move. What kind of stories next year would you have to come up in here, up here and share about how God moved? That's what we're asking for. And so as a specific piece of that, we've talked about this. This is not to twist your arm. Please don't hear anything but what it is. We're asking for you, if you're a faithful, committed part of Harmony, for you to take this little tab and rip it off and to turn it in today or next week, and specifically to just let us know what your plan is over the next year to be able to give and to participate in through your giving at Harmony. Because what we do, I had somebody ask me, it says on the front side that Harmony gives 10% to world missions, and they were like, what do you do with the other 90%, right? If only 10% is going to the mission, what do you do with the other 90%? Well, what we do is 10% of what is given here goes to world missions to support people like Elijah. He referenced, you may not know this, but when I got hired on at our church was struggling desperately financially. And I didn't know this when I got hired on. We had stopped, they had sent out letters to all our missionaries and said, we don't have the funds to keep supporting you. We will, when we get the funds, we'll come back and we'll help support and we'll try to figure this out. So we had stopped sending money to help support that mission. And I came and I found this out, and it wasn't, our leaders were trying to do the very best they could with a really tough hand. And I just told them, I said, and it's still true today, I would rather cut my salary than for us to cut world missions and to cut us helping care for people in the rest of the world. And so I got up, and it was one of the most powerful Sundays of my entire life. I got up and I shared, we're putting a stake in the ground. We are going to be a church that supports missions. Come hell or high water, we're going to support missions. We're not going to give up on that. And I said, will you guys stand with me on this? And it was one of the most powerful things. There was an older gentleman, Leonard, who was sitting out here. They've moved to another, up to Cincinnati, but he was standing here, and Leonard had a cane. And Leonard, I didn't mean for everybody to stand, but I looked out and I said, will you guys stand with me in this? Leonard took his cane and he stood up. And everybody stood up, and I got chills because I saw the people of God saying, we're going to stand for the mission of God in the world. 10% of everything that you give goes straight to world missions to help children in Africa, and all we're going to be helping plant churches in Japan. You're going to hear about that next week. That's from you guys. That's not me. That's you guys. But the other 90%, do you know what it goes to? It goes to bringing the mission of God to Georgetown and to your friends and your family here. It's not like it just gets spent frivolously. We use that money then here to locally bring the mission. That's missions. This is us bringing the mission to Georgetown. It is advancing the kingdom of God by living for God and loving people. And that's what it goes to support. And so what we're asking is not for you to, some churches are like, step out of faith and give big. We're just asking realistically, what do you think you're going to give over the next year? Because as a leadership, we try to be really wise stewards of the resources you give. And we want to budget well. And it's really hard to know that if we don't know what's going to be given. So we can create a budget, but it's just pie in the sky thinking if we don't have a good baseline to say, this is what people think they're going to give over the next year. That could change. You might get a better job and you might give more, or you might lose a job and not be able to give it all. And we're actually going to reach out and support you and help you. I don't know what's going to happen over the next year. I just know getting that baseline will help. And so what we're asking is that you would fill this out. Super simple. You can put check on there whether that's a weekly amount. So that might be easier for you to think, I give this much weekly or monthly. This is what I give monthly. Or you can even do the math and figure out yearly. That's what my wife and I did. Figured out yearly what we give, and we put that on there and check the box. And then I just want to ask that everybody, whether you're going to be committed to being able to financially give, maybe you're in a place where that's just not possible for you. That's okay. I would ask that everybody check the last box. Like, seriously, pray about it and decide, I'm going to be the person who commits to this. Because the last box says, I'm committed to praying for our leadership as they consider how to best use these resources to further advance the kingdom of God, helping encourage us to live for God and love people. The reality is our staff, our elders, do sacrifice a lot. There's a lot of time and prayer and heart that's given to trying to lead this church into the right place. And I'm asking you to be all in with us. And part of being all in says, I'm going to actually take this as my church and I'm going to start to pray for it. Man, if you have not gone through our Leadership Track podcast, jump on our website. It will help you get your mindset around this in a way that maybe you've never had it before. Jump on and do that. But we're asking you to really say, I am all in here. This is, if you're just going to church, that's not what Jesus calls us to. He calls us to a deep discipleship. Myself, I feel Jesus calling me to a deeper discipleship. Don't you? Don't you feel him calling you? Don't you feel the burning in your chest? He wants us. He doesn't just want lip service. He wants us. And so I'm asking you to just join with us in the next few moments. What we're going to do, I'm going to pray to close us. I'm going to pray over Elijah. I'm going to pray for, we have another quilt out in the lobby. I would encourage you to grab one of the little cards by the quilt and pray over the person that quilt's for. What you do is tie a little knot. You'll see there's threads that you can tie a knot. And then they know that they've been prayed over by you. So as you leave today, I invite you to do that. But I'm going to pray for that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of communion where you can go to the side and you can partake of communion with Jesus. But I'm going to ask you before you do that for you to examine your hearts and just think about, Jesus, how in am I with what you're doing in this place? So if you guys would, will you bow with me and let's pray. Father, I pray right now over Elijah. I thank you for his service to the kingdom. I thank you for his humble heart that is pointing to you always. And I know that he has faced trials, and I know that you have been faithful in that. And I just pray that you would continue to be faithful for him. I pray that his family would be drawn near to you, and that as he leads them, that they would know that they have a dad who loves them very much. And I pray, Father, against Satan who wants to try to trip things up like these kind of ministries that are making a huge impact for the kingdom. And I just pray, Father, that you would open doors, that you would thwart Satan, that you would bring about victory for your kingdom, not for anybody's name, but your name, Jesus. Father, I also pray for Albert Bain, who the quilt is for, and the stage 3 bladder cancer that he has. And I know it's been a struggle for a long time, and I just pray over him, Father, that you bring healing. And I pray that, Father, most of all, that you would walk with him. Your promise has never been to take away all the hard things in this life, but to walk through us with those hard things and to be present with us. I just pray that you would be very present, very near to him, very near to his family, that you'd help them to know just how much you love them. Jesus, I pray over our church. I pray that you would move in mighty ways. God, I just submit myself to you. I want to do what you're doing. I want to say what you're saying. I don't want it to be about me. I don't want it to be about our band. I don't want it to be about how cool of a church we are. I just want to be about you. I want people to see you, that we would just hide behind the cross. I love you, God. Move in this place. Move in us. We invite you. We invite you. It's in your name that I pray, Jesus. Amen. Whenever you guys are ready, you can go and partake of communion. Drop those cards in the offering boxes. I love you guys. It is a pleasure to be your pastor at this church.